Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Live the Fuel show. This is your host, Scott Mulvaney, and I want to introduce somebody that I've known for a couple years now. He'll be my co-host for today. This guy's got a heck of a history. It's kind of funny. I never heard the term land of Klinger, and if anybody's old school like us, I'm in my late 30s, I believe he's in his 40s, Klinger from MASH. He's basically from Toledo, Ohio originally, currently residing in San Diego. I know for a fact this guy has lived in Philadelphia because I live about an hour north in Allentown. I've also lived in Colorado. This guy has lived in Boulder and Denver. He's been an international in Brussels. I have not, so he's got me beat already with the international game. But this guy, he's the epitome of what you're going to hear about, which is being a solopreneur and basically a solo artist in the entrepreneurial world. And the guy has got an award-winning show. He's basically my mentor. That's why I've chosen him to be this first episode to launch the Live the Fuel show. We've known each other for a couple of years just through private coaching group. He's been one of my actual coaches. He's one of my mentors. The guy has already rocked out more than 6 million downloads on his podcast. He's got some crazy cool stories from his own lifestyle. He brings out a lot of great stories on his own podcast. He's got the tagline, proudly unemployable, if you've ever heard of it. And more importantly, you got a personal journey here that this guy's going to be able to rock on this show with us. And we're going to talk about that back and forth because I've been working with him for the past 2 years. He's worked with shows like The Kick-Ass Life. He's also a fellow mountain biker like I've been, and I still am. He's a fellow guy who believes in that freedom trifecta, the time freedom, location freedom, financial freedom, drummer, car racer. You know, I'm just going to get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Michael O'Neill on the call here today. So Michael, let's go ahead and jump into it.
Scott, what's up, dude? Congratulations. Episode one.
Crazy, right?
How psyched are you? By the way, if you'd known how much work it was to get a podcast up, would you have done it?
I have heard you ask people that question.
Yeah.
I was not expecting you to start off with that one. You nailed me on that one.
Yeah.
I still would, because if you remember our stories from our meetings, I'm that stupid adrenaline junkie that has no problem ramming my head through things and just trying to figure things out. So it's been a little stressful the past 30 days, but like anything else that takes a whole lot of work and you start pulling it off, it's worth it. I'm already feeling it right now. I'm beyond stoked, beyond pumped right now. So
what's your plan? What's your plan for the Live the Fuel show?
Well, our tagline for this show is fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. So anybody who follows my social media feeds, feeds that all basically got created after you and I sat down and had a little beverage in New York City and went over all my little keyword and branding research I've been doing for a few months in your private coaching group a couple years ago. It's really, I want to fire people up. You know, I want to really provide them content through this podcast and through, if anybody follows my social media feeds already, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, I'm out there everywhere. I've got some video content on YouTube, but anybody who knows me knows I'm Mr. High Energy Adrenaline Junkie. And I just want that to bleed through to the people out there, because there's so many people that are just, they get knocked around and they don't know how to bounce back. Mm. And I chose those three categories, health, business, and lifestyle, because I truly believe they all marry together. People struggle in their business or working for other people's businesses. They let their health fall to the wayside. They let their lifestyle fall to the wayside. A lot of this is tied back to psychology. I minored it in college, so that's how I also wrapped around this, because so many people start focusing in one big area of their life and they let the other areas fall to the wayside. So for this show, this brand, this podcast, these are the three areas that I picked out of all the domains we could focus on in our life to balance. I want to focus on these three because I think it creates a nice umbrella effect.
I love that. Why Live the Fuel, by the way?
Oh man, I just still remember my stressful conversation with you in that bar in New York City. You were the one who actually taught me the power of Post-its. I've been using Post-its for years in the corporate world when I used to be there, and I never thought about using it for my own self-creation. Mm. And Live the Fuel came from a mess of keywords being slapped up on the wall. One of my favorite quotes that I've always tried to live by over the years is from Ernest Hemingway, and it's live life to the fullest. So I said, well, I can't take that. That's his tagline. This guy's a little more famous than me. I got to create my own brand. And so through all the keywords, and some people say I say it too much. One of my favorite words is epic. I'm a skier. It gets thrown around a lot in the mountain life, and mountain biking, racing, everything else. Fired up is a popular term for me because I love to fire people up, like to motivate them and inspire them. And so basically, if you spell out Live the Fuel, it actually stands for Live the Fired Up Epic Life. And I shortened that and wanted fuel, like we're using in the tagline, to be that, take it from a noun and turn it into a verb, become an action word with it. So Live the Fuel.
I love it, man. You're living the brand.
Yeah, I think we all need to be.
Living the dream.
Your exercises, what you've done for the people in our groups and myself, I think that's huge. When it clicks, and you were right, man, when it clicks, wow, man, you just feel it on the inside, the outside. And you just, after that, it might have taken me a couple years to get to this point, but every time I got a little slacker on it, I'd have to jump on myself right back into it because, like, this is your brand. You have to get this thing moving. Even if it starts off with just posting some inspirational posts, you know, working on your own content, you know, coming up with like quotes and images and using your own graphics, creating logos. Dear God, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, some of the fugly logos that I posted in our group, going through how many designs before I finally came up with the one we have today.
Yeah, it's, well, the whole thing is, you mentioned something a couple minutes ago, which was when you get it right, it becomes so much easier. And what you mean by that is when you actually nail your brand, when you get the brand right, and it feels like it's totally you and totally like inauthenticity and not like inauthentic, but in space authenticity. And it feels like, wait a second, every time I wear a shirt or a hat or see this on a website, that is exactly what I'm all about. Like, this is it. When you get that right, and sometimes it takes a long time to get that right, it changes everything. Like, everything becomes easier because you have now a narrative to bring out to the world, to put on the website, to put in the photos. Because if you remember, I mean, I'm sure you remember, but you were doing all kinds of photos first. That was like the first thing you did, is like these like examples of what that looked like, what Live the Fuel looked like.
Yeah, who was our mutual buddy, guy I used to work with, the adrenaline, felt way more of adrenaline junkie than me because he's a base jumper.
Kenyon Salo.
What's his brand? I'm blanking on it right now.
He has the Bucket List Life.
Yeah, I'm a follower. And what did we say? Yeah. We said, you know what? If that's working, there's no reason why you have to recreate the wheel. Just start following somebody, like you said, follow somebody that clicks with you and works with you. And I started watching his content. And then I did a lot of emulation.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, once you start kind of feeling robotic, then things start clicking differently. And then I spun off into my own themes. And it's like, okay, I don't do exactly everything that he does. And maybe in the beginning, I did a lot of similarities and I even shared some of his content. And I still do from time to time. That's the power of sharing on social media. But to your point, it was like, okay, I need to at least immerse myself more into those. And I can really call Kenyon a mentor because I love what he's doing too. I still haven't physically met him, but I follow all of his social media feeds. So props to Kenyon if he's listening to this.
If anybody ever watches a Denver Broncos football game this year and they are at a home game, you will see him jumping into the stadium. That's what Kenyon does.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of his biggest contracts, right?
Yeah, he does pretty well. He does pretty darn well.
That's a good contract to have. I think he's doing okay. So
Yeah. Scary, but good.
Oh, yeah. I've done plenty of skydiving. Haven't done that much solo work like him. Haven't done base jumping. And I've definitely never tried soaring controlled into a football stadium in front of thousands of people.
Yes. That's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, talk about adrenaline junkie. I want to bring that up about you, man. I mean, you're a fellow guy who, I think that's why I clicked so well with you as well, is that there were so many similarities that started overlapping, which just made it easier for me to follow your feeds, follow your content, and really click with you. Is that, I mean, a fellow East Coaster originally. I also moved west. You moved west. Fellow Colorado guy. But the car racing, SCCA racing, I actually did try that for a little while. A lot of people don't know what that is. It's basically closed course. You could probably describe it better. I mean, how would you describe SCCA racing? You bring your string car in. I mean,
it's a 60-second car accident, generally, is how I would describe it. It's about a mile long course. It's like a road course. So it's got rights and lefts and slaloms and stuff like that. and you're basically going highway speed. So it's not like super high speed, though you'd be doing like a slalom at 70 versus just driving at 70, which is much different. Generally, you are at the literal limit of traction the entire time. So whether you're turning or accelerating or braking, you're doing it as hard as that car can do it. And the competition is like watching ski racing or something where, you know, first, or it's like watching, you know, the Olympics just happened not too long ago. And it's like watching the, you know, 400 meter, not even 100 meter. And you see these people that are separated by thousands of seconds and hundreds of seconds. And the guy that wins the gold medal, you know, gets a 21.46. And the guy that is completely out of the medals is like a 21.03 or something. You know what I mean? So it's like literally 0.4 of a second slower. And the one guy's the best in the world, and the other guy you never heard of in your life.
Now, granted, so what you're telling us right now is something. How long have you been doing this? I mean, it's been a while.
I've been doing this for 16 years. Yeah, I've been racing for 16 years.
I did this for like one summer. So yeah, I definitely never got to those speeds. I mean, the courses that I practiced on were like there's a small airport runway. They'd have a cone course set up on one of the runways at Penn State at the small airport nearby. And the most aggressive I got was learning, oh, you can take a Honda Accord up on two wheels. Didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, I did that.
you got your car to two wheels?
I took a corner very aggressively. I don't know how to. I mean, it was not like way up. I mean, I probably had about, everybody who saw it said they had about a foot of gap.
I've never seen that. I've never seen it.
And I never did it ever again.
Did you have the stiffest suspension ever on your car?
It was a 9. What was that? That was a 1997 Honda Accord EX. I mean, I had just done some air and out work on it and put some Z-rated tires on for some stickiness, low profile. You know, that was when I was like listening to my buddies who had like 1995, the perfect track car ever, BMW M3, all dialed out. And my other buddy who had an amazing, I've never seen it before, but he still has it and still races it, by the way, with J-Spec Motors. Sorry, people, we're throwing out terms you may not have heard. A Honda Prelude four-wheel steer, 1992, still has it. He's been through three motor transplants. It's still a sleeper. They both have full custom coilover, adjustable suspensions. Those things are stiff. And they've done that whole lap across America thing with those.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That whole thing from like race course to race course or like stadium to stadium. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy stuff.
That's fun. Yeah. Well, my car's been on three wheels a lot. You know, you lift, at least with a front wheel drive car, you always lift, typically you lift a rear, the inside rear. And then with my other car, I lift the inside front. So being on three wheels is not uncommon. Being on two wheels is really uncommon. So that you managed to do that, things almost went terribly wrong.
There was a slamming of brakes and then the car abruptly coming back down on the four wheels at the end of the turn. So I did not complete the turn. I'll just say that.
Wow. Yeah. I've only heard of it once in my whole career. And that was a Volkswagen Golf.
Well, and I didn't even realize it happened. I mean, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was literally, I just felt the body shift roll. I thought that's all it was. And I'm like, no, man. Like, your tires came off the ground.
Wow. That's crazy.
So
crazy.
Little car geeking. But again, this is part of the lifestyle, right? I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you didn't do the SCCCA racing that you can do now. I mean, going back to our kind of point earlier on the whole time freedom, location freedom, like, these are the reasons why we're doing this stuff. I mean, this is, if you're like, what do you do? Why do you do all this stuff? Like, why do you have all these projects? I'm like, well, because you want to live a better life to your rules and what you want to do. And I don't have my video on right now on Skype because we want to have a good, clean signal for you guys. But I'm rocking that beautiful yellow shirt that I got a couple years ago. Still in mint condition, sir.
Which one? The I Am Unemployable?
You know it.
Sweet. Yeah. I got one right behind me here on my my little wall of shame.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember when that was like when you first hung it up. It was the first of your, I think you have like four or five shirts hanging up there now. So you've definitely changed.
Yeah, I've got another one. I think I'm getting ready to brew up at the moment.
Well, I totally missed out on the hat thing. So that was a sweet, sweet embroidered design. They did a great job.
How'd you miss that? I had it advertised for like 3 weeks before I made them.
I was traveling, and that's not even a good excuse. There is no excuse. There's no excuse because I have a laptop, I have a smartphone, I have technology. Yeah. There's no excuse. So
they will be available again soon. The unemployable hat will definitely be available as soon as I get the sample back.
There you go, guys. I mean, when you wear the hat and you wear the shirt, it helps change your mindset, at least for me. Like if I get into that different, it's like flipping a switch. So some people don't need that, but if you need a little extra love, rock the Solopreneur hat or one of his cool shirts.
So I have a, so I did this shirt that just says, I am unemployable on the front. Did you find a, have you gotten into any conversations with people while you're wearing it?
Well, back when we first released the shirts, it arrived right before a trip I was flying. So the, literally the first time I wore it was in an airport. And
yeah,
I remember because I posted this stuff back in your, I think that was, it was either the public group, Proudly Unemployable, where anybody can be in there, or it was the Solo Lab group. It might've been both. But I took photos of it and there was at least two people just as soon as I entered the airport, checked the bags, was walking to the bar to grab a wine with my girlfriend. And she's like, I don't know why you're rocking that shirt. And literally I had two people like, that shirt's awesome. So it was attractive enough to actually distract other people in a busy airport. And meanwhile, I was in Newark Airport. That's a Newark, New Jersey, international hub. That's a busy airport. So, and then it ended up striking up a conversation when I got to my destination. I forget where I was flying to. It's a couple years ago now. So, but I ended up having a guy saying, what's the story with that shirt? So I said, well, you need to check out this guy's podcast. Here he is on Facebook. So it works. That's marketing.
I love it. Yeah, that's, for me, that was the first like legitimately viral thing that I did. I was at a conference and I decided to just make this hat for this conference. And I couldn't get across. I was in the casino in Vegas, you know, trying to get to the conference where we were. And I got stopped like 10 times between getting there. Like, oh my God, I need a picture with you. I was like, wow, I guess this shirt is resonating with people because I am indeed unemployable.
And clearly you wore that into the right audience. I mean, was it, I don't even remember. Was that in like an entrepreneurial conference or a marketing conference or something? Or was it just literally, were these just casino people that just loved it?
These were casino people that just loved it. It was at a conference. It was at an NMX, but I hadn't gotten to the conference yet. I was like just walking across the casino floor.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was crazy.
If that's not a confirmation.
That's how you know.
That something's working. I don't know what is.
That's how you know, kid.
But I mean, catching up on the lifestyle stuff, I saw you got in the past few months, it was actually a lot of months now, you restored your old BMX, I believe.
Yes.
And you've been riding again? Yeah, I saw you pick up a full suspension rig. So.
Yep. Got the old MTB going. Although I really need to switch the bars on it. I don't like them. I don't like the new trend of these handlebars that are 17 feet wide and flat. I just don't. It doesn't feel good.
Well,
to
and
me,
again, so. If you're back riding here on my trails, the park that I do trail maintenance at right now, like 2 minutes from my house, it's I agree with you because if you ride
it's like
in the
East Coast tight single track,
highly technical rock gardens. We don't have smooth terrain like Colorado. It doesn't smooth and flow or like the ridge lines on the coast of California. It's not the same riding. So yeah, you have a bike show up with some sweet wide looking bars. People are like, man, this looks so comfortable. I said, yeah, until you get that first twisty tighty turn and you're hauling butt and you clip it.
Yeah, I don't even find it comfortable. It's wrong for me all the way around. It's like you said, I grew up on a BMX bike, so
yeah, you're used to that.
For me,
compact.
You know, and I raced downhill for 10 years, so it was like I like riser bars and I like having a real, like at least a 2-inch rise, and it feels better to me that way.
Isn't there an old photo? What did I see the other day? There's an old photo of you somewhere. I don't know where you posted it, where you're standing on the BMX bike. You might have been rolling in the photo. It's old. It's way back. Are you standing on the handlebars?
Yeah, I'm doing a bar ride. So I just posted it like 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just doing a bar ride, which is, we used to, you know, you'd be going along at a, you know, couple miles an hour and then kind of step on the frame and then step on the right grip and then the left grip and stand up really quickly and then ride as long as you can in a bar ride. So my greatest claim to fame was, remember, like roller rinks when you'd go and hold hands and they play like disco songs, you'd ride, you know, you'd hold hands with the girl, whatever. Well, there was a place called, what do they call that joint? And it wasn't Rollerama, but it was something like that in Florida. So this was like late 80s, probably at the peak of my BMX skill level, I would imagine. No, I don't know. Yeah, maybe right around then. And every, like, I want to say Friday night, they would open it up for skateboarders and BMXers. So they would just have all ramps inside this place. So it was killer. It was so cool. because they had ramps and the people were just doing tricks and they had a little half pipe and it was really awesome. And we were sort of the, it was mostly skateboards, but they let a couple bike riders go. And like, I mean, a couple, there was probably four or five of us total. And for whatever reason, this one particular time, they said, let's give it a minute and let the bike guys show us what they can do. So we had a little session where all the skaters went, you know, all the way around the perimeter, and then the bike guys got to ride. And there was a wedge ramp. Two things I did in succession that were crazy is, excuse me, there was a wedge ramp, which just looks like a piece of cheese kind of on its side.
Okay.
You know, like a cheese wedge.
Yeah.
And they had this ramp right up against the wall. So I did a huge fakey wall ride. So I flew up the ramp and went straight up the wall and then backwards down into the ramp again, you know?
That's what a lot of snowboarders do now.
Yeah.
They do that. I call it like a wall stall. I don't know what the official name is, but when I see it, it looks like somebody they pop like both feet on a board, or in your case, both tires, like a stall, and you release off. But in your case, you land backwards and roll back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's exactly right. And then you land back on the ramp and roll back. And so I did one of those, and that was huge because I'd been trying it like for the last three sessions that I'd been at this little park, but I didn't have the cojones to like commit to coming back in. So like I would kind of get up on the wall and then I would eject basically. But this time I committed and I nailed it. So
wait,
that was cool.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. I got to catch you there. What do you mean eject?
I mean, like I would be,
you would stall the tires and
pop
off?
Just, yeah, I would just like, I would pop myself off the bike and just kind of like.
Tuck and roll?
No, I wouldn't. I just would fall backwards into the ramp and kind of, the bike would go wherever it went, but I was not on it, you know? But this time I committed and I landed it, which was cool. And then I did a bar ride, which is what that trick was called, where I stand on the grips, was only, I think I'd only hit it like twice in my life. And when I did, it was only for a couple of seconds. It was like, you know, the one you saw actually was pretty good. The one I got a picture of was one of the best ones I'd ever done.
No,
but
that's a sweet photo.
For whatever reason, I went for it, and I went the entire width of this, like, roller rink, which is, I don't know, probably 50 yards, you know? It's like a pretty big thing. I went the entire width on my grips, and everyone was like, oh, and I totally landed it. And I was like, all right, that was the coolest moment I've ever had on a bike, I think.
Now, judging by the photo quality.
At least on a BMX bike.
Judging by the photo quality, I couldn't place it. And I can't remember. Was this, are we talking our sweet 80s? Or are we looking at 90s?
It's like 88, I think. Oh,
okay.
88 or 89.
Still, all right. You're in the 80s there. Nice.
Yeah.
We're 80s kids. So.
Yeah. It's like 89, I think.
Okay. All right.
Something like that.
You got me beat, man. I'm a nutball on my mountain bike. People think I'm crazy. I don't do the stuff you're talking about. But I mean, when I got into mountain biking, hardcore. One thing I did love about trying my attempt at college the first time was Penn State. They had they're like a Commonwealth campus university, so like they put little satellite campuses all over the state, so that way you could save a little money and not go to the main campus and get overwhelmed by 500 people in your class, and you could still work because I paid my own way through school. So yeah, I had a full-time job while I was trying to study engineering at Penn State. That's a whole different story, and that was ridiculous. But I needed some phys ed credits, and two of the classes I took was skiing and mountain biking. So,
nice.
And that was the first time.
Which you were
time.
Already doing.
Well, yeah, sort of. I actually bought a better bike, and get this, I call it a better bike, but I bought a better bike for the class. I picked up a giant Yukon, like sweet, lightweight aluminum, full rigid, no suspension or anything. And that class was the first time I saw anybody on a full suspension. And it was those old Cannondale, like Y frames.
Yeah, sure.
This was the unit shock. Yeah, it was 96. And I was like, that thing is sick looking. But I tried to chase that guy because he was actually one of the Penn State racers, I found out later. So I tried to chase that guy on every class outing in my full rigid and my buddies years later. And I kept that thing until 2007.
Wow.
Because I ended up having a shoulder surgery due to multiple dislocations in 99. And then I kept riding that thing. And my buddy's like, dude, you're going to shake your shoulder back apart because of the terrain we were riding. And, yeah, that bike was, they used to call it my death sickle because I would do stuff that would blow people's minds. Like, dude, you can't bunny hop that down tree. You're going to clip it. You don't have a suspension. I'm like, don't worry about it. Plus, I just didn't want to spend the money. So I was being cheap. So, but like we talk about today, we look at like podcast gear or mountain biking gear or cars. Like this is one of those side effects of, you know, making better money or starting to do things to justify other things you want to spend or invest in for your lifestyle. And that's like going from a $600 bike in 96 to my first full suspension, like $3,000 bike was like night and day. I was like, yeah. What did I just do? Because then you're like, oh, that's what it's like when you actually invest in the right equipment. I mean, I kept saying, well, because I rock a full rigid bike, I'm developing my skills. And then friends of mine are like, Scott, just get a better bike. You're going to kill yourself. And trust me, when you get it, it'll click because you'll be able to take your skills to the next level. And I just kept saying, nah, no big deal. And yeah, once I did that, now granted that bike only lasted 2 seasons, I cracked the frame. I've actually cracked 3 mountain bike frames since 2007. So I mean, I'm a little aggressive.
Yeah, you're tough on your gear.
A little bit. I'm actually rocking now, I picked it up last season, a Cannondale, their Scalpel Race. Their lightest aluminum. I went just the model just under the full carbon, and it's got their lefty. So I'm rocking the lefty, the onesie. Mm. And it is sweet fast, but not very fun on the steeps because the rake is too flat. I mean, you go down the steeps and you're like, hello.
Right. So,
but that goes back to obviously your cars. I mean, God, I love the backstory on that sweet old Porsche you have. I mean, besides the SCCA racing thing, yada, yada, yada. But, and we're going to detour a little bit because the backstory here is important to me. This is something that I want people to really understand about you is that I think this is one of the things that really got, I think a lot of your followers to click. And unfortunately, you have to go way back in your episodes to find all this old content. And I love how you're starting to kind of recycle some of it. You're mixing in some episodes because hearing the story of what you went through financially and then professionally and then emotionally through the family struggles. And I don't want to ruin it because I really want you to kind of share really the meat and potatoes on this. But long story short, the passing of your parents and then thinking about integrating the ashes into the paint of your car. Now, granted, I just fast forwarded through a whole lot of stuff there. So feel free to share what you want best to help other people understand this because I'm all going to tell so much here, but being able to go backpack or whatever you did in Europe and then spread their ashes in Europe and then come back and then say, wow, you know what? I'm going to put this into the paint of something that I love and that I'm going to keep loving for years to come. That's it just never left me, man. That was powerful.
Yeah, I did this. I was in the middle of restoring this car that I'd bought for pennies. I mean, it was not an expensive car. I bought it for $5,000 in 2005.
It was in a field, right?
And yeah, it was just in a field. A buddy of mine told me about it, and I said, all right, well, go check it out. And bought it off a guy, 1969 911T, and it appeared to be in decent shape, much more decent than the one I'd owned already. And there were some hidden gems that I didn't know about. So I bought the thing and then I sold a bunch of stuff off and I ended up with a net profit. So actually I bought it. Someone paid me to buy it basically, you know, cause I bought it for $5,000. I think I sold $6,000 worth of stuff off of it. And, I was in the product, like I didn't know anything about anything. I just wanted to fix it up. It had more rust than I thought it did. And so I had to learn how to weld. So I bought a Harbor Freight welder and started MIG welding the thing. And during the process, it was such a massive, long restoration project. It was like 4 years and 2,000 hours.
That's a lot of love.
Yeah, it was a lot. I like my parents, while I was doing it, both passed away. And so I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have them surrounding me at all times. So I mixed some of their ashes into, the first stage of this, there's this thick primer kind of stuff that we used at the beginning. And I mixed it into there. And so I thought that'd be kind of a cool way to honor them and have them surrounding me at all times while I was driving. So I like to think that as we've gone through some experiences with the car that they've been with me as I've gone. So their ashes have seen a lot of range. I took them all over Europe and spread them all over the place for like 4 months. And they're in the car, and then every once, I still have some. I didn't spread them all, so, you know, I'll go shake out a foot or whatever it is that I have with me at the time, and I'll take them somewhere. Like, if there's an anniversary or something, you know, we'll go to the beach, and I'll give them a little spread, sprinkle, something.
Well, I mean, I think
cool.
The cool part about that story was that, I mean, that's when you only had, and I'm going to bring back an old term you use, only a few shekels, you know, to your name.
That's right. Sometimes I'll snort them if I'm feeling like, I'm kidding. Yeah, that's Yeah.
No comment on that. But yeah, that's crazy because it's people don't think about these things. But I think you've reflected a few times since then, all the change you've gone through with the growth of the show, the growth of your business, the coaching, the mentorship, the speaking events. Like, it's really cool to see the growth that you've done. And that's one thing I'm actually been enjoying about this is that, like, I've been able to follow you and see the progress since, like, I think I found you right after you launched a show because I had learned about you through the David Woods show, The Kick-Ass Life. So it was just hearing the story, the backstories. I'm like, man, I got to keep listening to this guy. I got to see what's going to happen next. And that's where, even though it's become like your business, I think what better way to have a business, right? Is something that you're fully immersed in.
Well, and one thing for me is, you know, connecting it to something I did for a very long time, which is I was on two wheels from age 12 until, I guess I still am. A bike is still my favorite mode of transportation. But I was first a freestyle guy, then a downhiller, you know, so climbing was never my forte. I used to just put an audiobook, you know, on my phone or whatever, or my iPod, whatever I had at the time, and I would just listen to it. And if we had, you know, some of those long Colorado climbs, I just listen and suffer, you know. And all my friends would wait for me at the top of the hill because they knew that if they left before me, that I would fly by them while we were like on the downhill.
Oh yeah, I got so friends like you. Yeah.
Yeah, we would just meet. Yeah. And I'd get there eventually. But
at least you
gotta
walk it.
No. As part of that process though, as part of climbing, and you know, it's you're in pain and you're suffering and you just keep going. You just keep going. If you have to shift into a lower gear, you just kind of find this weird spot in your brain and you just do it. And that's it. So I think I've sort of adopted that in my regular life too. Even when really bad things happen, it's like, you know, two instances. One, Bambi, right? Bambi's mom gets killed, and then Bambi's just so sad. And then, you know, the voice is like, Bambi, get up. And so Bambi gets up, you know? And then Trinity from The Matrix. Remember the first scene?
Oh, man.
She gets chased down. She dives through the window, and then she's just like, Trinity, get up. And she just goes and gets up. And even though things aren't going well, you got to get up. You got to keep going. And that's just part of the deal.
And same thing with Morpheus.
Same thing with Morpheus. Yeah. He got up. He endured. One of my favorite movies, by the way.
I don't even remember when that movie came out. Was that still the 90s? No, it was early 2000s.
No, it was 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Great movie, though. I mean, that crushed it in the theaters. So
one of the best ever.
Yeah. Even with the sequels. And usually you got to be careful with the sequels because there used to be a term.
Terrible.
Do they still use the jumping the shark? Thing?
Jumping the shark, and they're terrible. Yeah. There's no reason in the world to watch any of the other Matrix movies other than the first one.
Okay, there you go.
They're awful.
Hardcore, I mean, dedicated awful, fan awful. For the first.
Great movie. First was a great movie. The next two were convoluted and awful. But, well, you know, it's all good.
I love the point you just got done talking about, which is that climbing. And the key word there, which is a big part of my life, is the endurance. I love extrapolating the world of fitness and health and fitness. And like I said, you were a downhiller, and I have a lot of friends here locally that do a lot of downhill riding. And I'm like, hey man, you want to go through some, you know, riding? They're like, yeah, I go down. do you have a pickup truck?
Right.
Cause if you just drive me around.
I don't mind the both. I don't want to go to like the ski resort and just get a lift up. That's not my thing anymore.
No, I mean, we have that here. But it's because we have a local, I have literally 40 minutes from my house is the local Blue Mountain Ski Resort, and they've got I have a lot of friends. They just had a race last weekend. So it's this, that time of year.
I've raced at Blue before.
Really?
And I've snowboarded there as well.
Okay. There you go. Well, and yeah. I ski race coach up at Camelback in the winters for the past 11 years. So,
cool.
I'm a two planker, you know, but we actually have a snowboard race team in our group though. And this kid's probably going to go to the Olympics because his father was a racer from Europe. So he's old school European trained.
Nice.
Yeah. The accent and everything. I forget what country, but he's definitely from somewhere near where I think skiers are birthed and,
right,
you know, bread.
Austria or something.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those deals. Yeah, cool.
But the key point here is the endurance piece. That's the biggest thing, is that so many of us, there's so many easy things to just say, you know what, I'm going to get distracted by this, distracted by that. And I think people let life overtake them and forget about, hey, if this means something to you, it's time to click into that endurance mode and realize that you're not going to win every single day or every single, you know, foot of that climb on the ride. I mean, living in Colorado, loved it living there, by the way. I wish I was there longer, but I hiked like 514er peaks there. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm the endurance guy. Like 2008, I did my first marathon. Never did another one. I'm not a runner. I like biking. But you know, every year I do 100-mile charity bike rides on my road bike. So I'm a road cyclist too. So it's, you got to mix things up. But the biggest thing that I've taken out of all those things is that is the endurance. It's like, okay, man, this is a mental game. Your body is capable of doing so much more. The brain controls everything. So if you've got a healthy brain, you'll have a healthy body. And especially in business and our goals, I mean, there's the brain, man. If you're not constantly doing things that we are all doing, that you're doing and that I'm doing, you know, with your coaching and your mentoring right now again, and all the I crush podcasts daily in my car because I travel a lot for my business. So I don't listen to FM. I am never behind on your show, maybe one episode, but you, mentors like you guys and, well, JLD, John Lee Dumas, EO Fire, Pat Flynn, all those guys, Vinny Tortorich, I also, cause he's a health and fitness junkie, but also his show's just hilarious. Some of the stuff he says. So, and you just had Anna Vocino on. So
indeed
powerful, amazing episode. So I love her new book. I was already on the pre-order list. So, and their whole NSNG lifestyle is huge. So,
yeah.
And you said you're doing that right now, I believe, correct?
Yeah, I'm doing a version of it. I'm not super hardcore about it. I just know that I'm about to do a bunch of speaking gigs and, you know, the camera doesn't lie.
Yeah.
So you got to sort of, you got to walk in there with your bikini body all taken care of.
And real quick for the listeners, NSNG, it's just, guys, they're just real quick on this. There's so many, and I'm using air quotes and you guys can't see it, but there's so many diets. I hate that word. Okay, diet is temporary. It's short term. This is about finding the lifestyle that makes sense for you. Just like Michael said here, it's he likes what he read and what he learned, and he's connected with Vinny Tortorich and Anna Vocino, who helped create this whole NSNG concept, which I'm also a follower of. But just like
Will you tell your listeners what NSNG means?
Yes, thank you. No sugars.
You're welcome.
No grains.
Yeah,
that's simple. Right. And my girlfriend, does she follow that? No. I'm the crazy guy. But
dumper. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry, babe. No, anyway.
Sorry, Michael said, you're out of here, kid.
He is my coach. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He said, I got to listen.
But that's the point, guys. It's like, make things work for you. Like, yeah, technically, I'm a CrossFitter and I coach CrossFit. So I'm big in the paleo thing. But also,
Sweat in the face.
Punching sweat in the face. But
yeah.
I'm not the typical CrossFitter. I'm a mountain biker and a road cyclist. So I'm a true fundamentalist of way that was founded, which is being able to stay healthy and fit to take yourself out of the gym and apply you to any sport. So I can do that because that's how I train and how I adapt that to my lifestyle. And I take pages out of the paleo book. I take pages out of the NSNG lifestyle. You and I both use the same nutrition and we both have side businesses with that nutrition. So it's, again, guys, it's finding things that click with your lifestyle. You've got a couple shows coming up and some speaking events. So yeah, you have an excuse to kind of turn it up a notch, make it work with your current lifestyle.
Yeah. And it's not that hard. That's the thing. It's like a quick little, you know, shift of priorities when it comes to eating. And you just watch, you know, you watch your weight fall away. When you cut out the white stuff in your diet, you know, the refined sugar and flour and stuff like that, you just watch your body go, thank you. I don't want to be inflamed anymore.
Yeah.
Thing is, I've never met a donut I didn't love. Like, so I'm really, kind of like, oh man, it's a bummer. It's a bummer I have to cut this out, but it really does. It is effective.
It is. You know? And because in the end, and you'll hear this if you ever listen to their show, NSNG, no sugars and no grains. What's in there? Sugar. Why? It's addicting. Luckily there are some decent blogs out there and even things actually backing it up. There's also a lot of hoopla and craziness, but it's true. Sugar is addicting. The brain likes it. Now, technically deep down health-wise, the brain doesn't like it because it's very unhealthy for you, but it's very addicting. So that's why you have a donut that you have every kind of donut, you actually like it. So, good for you for actually adapting that back in and dialing yourself in because another exciting thing about you, and I'm actually going to be able to physically meet you again. It's been a couple of years since New York City, but you've got an event coming up next weekend.
I do. Do I?
I do. Yes, you
I do. Suppose I do. Yes. I'm speaking at, the Mid-Atlantic podcast, Mid-Atlantic podcast conference, MapCon.
MapCon.
in my old stomping ground of Philly. So I'm really looking forward to figuring out how I'm going to get from the conference maybe on Sunday to D'Alessandro's to have a Philly cheesesteak. I'm very excited about that.
That's...
Oh, yeah, and the conference, too.
Well, again, we do have Uber here. It is Philadelphia, so...
Yeah, but I don't know how far it is. I'm not going to pay $56 for a cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
GPS that thing, man. Do the research ahead of time if it's worth it for you.
Yeah.
Or hey, there. We're Hopefully at the conference.
Somebody will take me.
When we're at the conference next weekend, yeah, we'll just do that. I mean, I'm actually staying down there Friday night. So if you want to...
Oh, cool.
If you want to accomplish this Friday night, I'm driving down. We can roll out, and you already have your goal accomplished before the conference even starts. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if that's going to affect your stage presence, though. I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll see. I'll fall asleep or something. Yeah. But it was awesome.
Yeah,
can't wait for one of those. It's been 6 years.
Wow, that's been that long. You're not one of those people who actually like pay somebody to like, you know, those people they actually pay people to go and buy the food and fly back with it or ship it back. I don't know.
I don't think you can do that with a cheesesteak.
No?
Dude.
Oh, yeah. Soggy roll.
Pretty
soggy
good about roll. Not being able to do that with a cheesesteak.
That's going to be pretty nasty, actually. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But no, I can remember my 30th birthday. We were down there, rented a limo bus, a whole bunch of my boys, my biking buddies, everybody else. Half the people on the bus had never had a Pat's or a Geno's cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Again, I don't eat those anymore, but I'm like, man, really? Really? You've never had this? Okay. And we ended up being out till 5 o'clock in the morning because those places never close.
That's right. Right. That's right.
That's Philadelphia for you.
Indeed.
So, but
I love Wissahickon Park, man. I miss it.
Actually, I was just riding there a few months ago. Yeah, I've never ridden there. I've never mountain biked.
That's like my main stopping ground, the Yellow Trail.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be on the Yellow Trail in a minute and a half from my house. And
Are
I would ride there.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I would ride from there all the way through. It was like 6 miles to the end of it and then keep going to Conshohocken and my job as the Master Tech at REI number 36 in Conshohocken, PA.
I have shopped there many times because I live up in Allentown, Lehigh Valley, only an hour north, and we still haven't gotten an REI or a Trader Joe's, but I hear we're getting a Whole Foods now, so I still have to commute down to Conshohocken for that. The tiniest REI ever, by the way.
I mean, it's pretty small.
I mean, yeah, it's, well, compared to Denver, for example, that's like the flagship store.
But it's Denver.
Yeah. So
it's one of the biggest in the country.
It is. I think only Seattle and Denver have a place that big. So if you're ever in Denver, people, you have to go there just to check it out. I mean, they have a whole climbing wall in there and everything. So I used to bike there all the time because I lived in Golden. So, and I helped my buddies open up their shop down in Littleton. So pretty close to all that area. But you also worked out there as well, didn't you?
I didn't work at REI there.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So that was just Philly.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Okay. That was just Philly.
Yep.
Okay.
Store number 36.
Okay.
Philadelphia, PA.
No, man, that's
it was great. I've had a blast. Lots of free stuff and a lot of pro deals. It makes it very hard to get pay retail for anything in the outdoor world anymore, but sometimes you have to.
I am all about the pro deal. I actually have a blog article on that just because that's why I still ski race coach. That's why I still pay for my IMBA membership for the International Mountain Bikers Association because of the pro deals.
Totally.
I don't pay retail for anything. It's amazing.
Tell your listeners what a pro deal is.
Ah, yes. Thank you. So pro deals, people.
You like how I'm helping him?
This is why he's my coach. So,
except he hasn't plugged my show a single time on this almost hour episode. So we're going to work on that.
You're talking about the Solo Hour? You're talking about solohour.com? I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's the one. That's
so
the one, buddy.
This is why this is episode number one, because Michael can then rip me up one side and down the other professionally.
Wait till we hit stop. You guys have no idea what he's in for.
So seriously, as a fellow mountain biker and an ex REI tech, I've never been an REI guy. You don't have to actually work for these businesses. You can actually, if you have industry creds like I do, a lot of these companies actually try and hook us up. Thanks to my CrossFit coaching and my ski race coaching, I do have pro deals, which basically you get deals directly through the manufacturer. So I don't pay retail for skis or for even ski clothing. I got a pro deal with Patagonia just for renewing my PSIA, the Professional Ski Instructors of America association membership every single year. So I pay like $150 every year to stay a member. But then I got deals on Patagonia, and that stuff is not cheap, and it's top.
Yeah,
of,
but
top
well,
of
FYI, game. You had to train to be a ski instructor. It's not like you're just a hack.
Well, actually, little life hack, people. I have never been a PSA certified instructor.
You've never actually instructed.
I'm a USSA ski race coach. So there's the difference. But because I was an employee of a mountain, that's what authorized me to at least get the entry-level PSA member. So that's why I'm just going to keep renewing that every year and keep the deals. Because I will say there is different worlds, guys. Like USSA and the PSAA, they kind of butt heads over the years. They're trying to work better together. I'm like, in the end, like, you're teaching kids how to ski better. Just get over it. So, but again, guys, this is lifestyle discussion. These are tips. Pro deals are about just helping you live that lifestyle a little bit better. If you can hack it a little bit and get some sweet hookups and some deals. I mean, perfect example, and I'm going to connect back to Michael's show here, Solopreneur Hour. I did not ever have an affiliate purchase ever. I had pro deals, never did a affiliate purchase. So when I started getting into, oh man, I got to figure out how to launch a brand and I want to buy domain names and I want to launch a website and figure that out, I didn't have any clue what I was doing. I'm a marketing guy, but I never did that side of it. So listening to his show, going to his website, I mean, I remember back in the day, you were a GD guy, and now you're a HostGator guy. So I actually, my hosting account.
I was like, what's GD mean? Sorry, GoDaddy. I put it together. Yeah, got it now. Yep.
So you were the GoDaddy guy, and then obviously business relations changed, and then you've been a HostGator guy for a long time, and that's my primary hosting account for my other sites, my other businesses is HostGator. I actually originally, all my domains I bought through GoDaddy, again, because of you. So I was following your show, your advice, following your blog posts. So again, guys, you can go to solopreneurhour.com, or if you can't spell that, just go to solohour.com. And more importantly, the reason why I'm telling you this now, and I wanted to save it to towards the end of the show, is because this isn't just about a speaking event coming up next week and him coming on my show and ripping me up on episode one, which is, this is how I like it. I don't care. I just, you know, kick my ass. I don't care. So, but this is huge. I'm a marketing guy. You are doing something huge right now. Besides your new trainings you've released, you're finally doing a book.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm definitely one of the first people to get it. So,
oh, cool. Good.
So and now you are doing it digitally too, because I'm a huge, that's the other thing. I never knew what the heck Audible was.
Yeah.
Until your show. So now when I'm not listening to podcasts, I'm listening to Audible for my digital audiobooks. Now I'm plugging all these companies. This is a brand new show. I don't have any sponsorships. I don't have any affiliates with any of these guys. I do have a HostGator affiliate account and I don't even know how to set it up on the website. I don't care. These are tools to help you guys. And this is why people like Michael O'Neill with his show set up these affiliations or just put a sweet resources sheet, which, by the way, real quick, help these people out. How do people get that with your texting service? It's super easy.
You can just text the word solo hour to 33444.
There you go.
33444.
Yeah, I did not have that option a couple years ago. He got a little fancier over the years, made it a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah.
I even tested it a few months ago. Even though I was already on your email list, I'm like, I want to test this out and try the texting service just to see what it was like. And
yeah,
it automatically resent me the your little life hack sheet, your little tips and tricks. So
sweet.
But again, going back to Audible, digital audiobooks, and that's how I crush knowledge on a daily basis for hours. I'm obsessed. Mm. Your book, tell us about it.
Well, the theme of my show is to take other unemployable people like myself and give them an option, you know, figure out how to use their skills and their hobbies and smush them into some kind of cool business together. So the book that I'm creating, which is ironically called Unemployable, is kind of a user guide for that and how to bring someone who is really questioning the process and has no idea where to start and what their options are, and it'll guide them through. So the idea, the hope anyway, is that they finish the book and they can create their first side hustle and have the resources and knowledge to do that.
There you go. I like the smush, by the way.
Is
that going to be on the marketing material?
It's a technical term. You have to consider.
I like that. I mean, so it's funny because now I'm going to do a quick flashback for you. My first training that I ever opted into, which you still offer to this day, and that you also used to do live in front of fellow Isogenics people, that's a nutrition company that he and I are both a part of, was your social media tactics.
Yeah.
That was
And I'm doing something new with that, actually. I'm going to be, it's going to have a new piece of my marketing puzzle very soon.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I'm going to repurpose it.
I got to start all over again.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. You got to, everything has a life cycle. So, you know, that particular training I did. I updated like 3 years ago, so I've got to do some updates to it. But once it's updated, I think it's still going to be great and relevant, and I can do some cool stuff with it in terms of how to. I'm gonna add it to my content and email funnel.
Yes.
So that's all I can tell you now.
And real quick, guys, for any of you guys who are listening to and you heard a word funnel, or lead generation, or the full term of sales funnel. Guys, this is just, hey, people are going to push content out to you and they're trying to get it to you. And for most people that are legit, they're just asking you to say, hey, could you just give me your name and email, hop on my email list, and I'm going to hook you up with a bunch of free stuff. Just do it. This is a lot of Michael's resources that I'm telling you about right now and he's talking about are what helped get me to this point. So, and I'm excited to where it's going to go from here. And there's so many other people that he's helped as well. Again, you can go to solohour.com. Don't try and spell solopreneur hour unless you're really a good English major. But that's why he bought a secondary domain and routed it over, which I'm a fan of. But again, the first training I went through was social media tactics. Then I got into your Proudly Unemployable public group, by the way. You want to surround yourself. Favorite quote, surround yourself. The people you surround yourself with are really how you develop yourself. So the five people you spend the most time with, guys. Okay, if you're not happy where your life is going, get into groups like what Michael has. Okay, I'm not just a member in the public group, Proudly Unemployable, which I recommend everybody to get into because you'll meet, I think, thousands of other people, right?
Yeah, that's like 3,000 now.
Yeah, that's pretty good, okay? And then I'm also in his Solo Lab right now, and I was a member back in the day when he first launched Solo Lab because I wanted to be in that private coaching group to really get more niche. And there's like 50 people in there, but these are other entrepreneurs or other people that aren't just podcasters, people just trying to launch a better business online. Maybe they got a brick and mortar business, but that's where Michael gets to give you guys a little extra love professionally and give you a little bit more hands-on. I mean, every Wednesday night, we have our little private Google Hangout. So that was awesome, by the way. I hadn't been on that in a couple years. So
yeah,
it's been a very productive week.
Yeah, indeed it was. It was very good. It was good to have you back.
It's been crazy. It's been nuts. And that's why it was so important for me to have you and I finally sit down here, I'm actually at my standing desk. So get on the mics and have you help launch this show as, I'll just go ahead and say it now on episode one, the most valuable co-host ever. That's
I'll
why
take
this
it.
Is so important.
I'll take it forever more.
Yes.
That's perfect.
So, but guys, again, Michael O'Neill, the Solopreneur Hour, AKA solohour.com to save yourself a lot of work. Get on the site, do the texting thing, do the website thing, get on social media, check him out. He's everywhere. If anybody's listening to this show, because we are launching this weekend here, and they are going to be in the Philadelphia area, come check out MapCon. I mean, yeah, it's primarily labeled around podcasting. It's a Mid-Atlantic, podcast conference, but you're just going to be networking. You're going to be getting around other people. Come by, say hi to Mike and me. I mean, we're going to be hanging out. So this is what networking is all about. And you got to change your audience. You got to change who you're around with and start picking out all these tips and tricks that's going to make your life better, whether it be health, whether it be business, whether it be lifestyle, whether it be podcasting. I don't care. That's the whole point of why I'm launching this show as well, is just to do what Michael's been doing for thousands of other people, or in your case, 8 million downloads is actually the correction on that, right?
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
That is indeed.
Yeah.
Three years.
So
yeah, it's been good.
So there you go, people. So
thanks, brother.
Michael, is there anything else you want to kind of close out with? Any kind of last piece of wisdom besides our awesome racing and biking conversations? Just something to fuel these guys. I think we've already, this turned into like a lot of knowledge being shared, but there's also some great backstories too. So I think that was valuable from a personal standpoint.
Yeah. My piece of advice is don't take advice from broke, unhappy people.
Love it. Well, there you go, guys. This was a great first episode 001 with Michael O'Neill of the solopreneurhour.com, AKA solohour.com. Michael, thanks again for your time today. Hang on the line. We're going to catch up afterwards. But again, guys, check out his website, visit Facebook, do whatever you got to do, rewind, go back to that little texting tip. And again, solohour.com, guys, be proudly unemployable. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Keep living the fired up, epic life.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.